broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This issue has been going on for two and a half years.
Yeah, it's a little much. Yeah, I think it got a little bit.
Never claimed she was homeless. Never told us she was homeless.
Why doesn't he release his Occidental record?
I saw a man expose himself.
I'd go crazy.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And speaking of Donald Trump,
I saw a man expose himself.
That's the next thing you're going to have to get on Trump to really keep people interested, man, because after the birth certificate and the transcript thing, because you've given up on talking about any important stuff, you're going to have to walk around with your fly open. Yeah! This is the world famous Phil Hendry show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Although I'm beginning to rethink that one, man. There's probably a lot of talk shows that wish they could go where we go, but upon further reflection.
Yeah, when you look at how tough it is and everything.
Nah, they don't care about that. They don't care about the work. I mean, other radio shows would do what we do even if they had to break their asses to do it, even if they had to work themselves to the bone to do it, but they don't because they can't. However, having said that, maybe they look at a guy like Phil Hendry, who is creating this kind of weird-ass radio, and they think, oh, who needs that? Who needs the grief he gets? We really like that show you do, Phil. And then they stare at you with these bug eyes like you come from Mars. I still haven't heard from anybody about that thing, have you?
I looked at the email.
I'm supposed to do this thing on this weekend. I'm supposed to be at a thing, right?
Yeah, well, they'll probably tell you what's today.
Today's going to be today's Thursday. Today's Thursday. Oh, and another thing, today, Thursday, is the final record for Napoleon Dynamite. So, you know, we do our show late, and that's how we do our show. But then we got to get out of bed early and head on over to Santa Monica to record the stuff for the TV show, the animated show. And so it's a quick turnaround, and that's my life. And I don't mind it, man. I wouldn't mind it near as much if doing this radio show wasn't such a... It's like having a wisdom tooth, man, that just keeps on aching. The stuff that we've done on the air here, just in the last year and a half since we came back and started doing our character show again, we've done some damn good radio. Well, it doesn't make any difference, man, any more than it made any difference about 6 years ago when we were doing epic radio, man. Record-breaking shows. Record-breaking! I mean, amazing stuff. It's called radio, you know? But our industry was not interested in it and has gotten even less interested in it. What are they interested in? They're interested in the guy that used to write monologues for Sean Hannity and now has his own radio show, Mark Levine. That's what they dig. And they'll be pissed at me that I'm saying something about Mark, who I think is a great guy, and he's a very smart guy. But there's a big difference between that and doing a radio show. You don't have to necessarily be smart. And then, of course, we have this notion that those radio shows that I just mentioned actually have audiences. I hate to break the news. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't have box office boffo audiences. But the radio business has invested so much in liberal, conservative, that they have to somehow delude themselves into thinking that people are listening to that crap. They're not. You can take a look at the ratings on half those shows, man. They stink. And meanwhile, here we are, you know, fighting for our lives. So, it's been a tough week. What can I tell you guys? Last night we had this situation with whatever the hell it was. What was it?
Well, that was
So this has just been on and off and on and off for the longest bloody time, I'm telling you. All right, moving along here, this is our news and information hour, so what we do is we go through the news like we weren't doing that the last 20 minutes, only this hour I allow Robert and Bud to make a few comments, although I probably should have let you make comments last half hour. It would have been a lot more interesting. And anything else that comes our way. Now, here's a story that I know everyone will enjoy. A high school girls didn't know the man who had just tossed candy onto their cafeteria table as they reached to pick it up. Prosecutors say the man, Brockton High Counselor Galen Stone, trained a cell phone camera on their chests and photographed them. The girls felt uncomfortable and confronted him, school officials said. He left, and they complained to administrators. Their actions led to the investigation and eventual arrest of Stone, who was charged Tuesday in Brockton District Court with criminal harassment and accosting or annoying a person of the opposite sex. And they're high school students, so isn't there something about child endangerment or molestation?
Well, what do you mean child? You didn't touch him or nothing.
Well, they're kids. They're kids. What the hell? You know, that's not a hard one to figure out. They're kids, okay? They're underage. Court paperwork says several videos reveal what appear to be females bending over to pick something up or females bending over a desk to reach for something. It's alleged that Stone would drop a piece of chocolate in front of the students, enticing the female students to bend over and pick it up. A total of 54 video files were found on this dumbass's phone. After students complained to the administration, two Brockton High officials, Matthew Beals and Gene Ryan, called Stone to a meeting and asked him if he knew what it was about. He said, "Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. Yes, I do." Brockton High, West Middle School, and what appears to be retail clothing stores also identified in the video, according to the files. Authorities say the 55-year-old man from Needham works at both schools. He'd been ordered to stay away from the victims and have no unsupervised contact with anyone under the age of 18, yada, 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 yada. His attorney has tried fighting that in court because Stone wants to attend his daughter's graduation. No, man, are you out of your mind? You can't attend your daughter's graduation. You're going to have a pocket full of candy.
Well, you think the guy's going to do it there?
I'm kidding. I don't know. He can't be that stupid. I guess he can.
God, sure, he's going to go to his daughter's graduation, do what? And he'd go up and get a diploma and toss a candy. That'd be pretty worth it, though, to see it. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Looking at that stuff is against the law, too. You know that?
What?
Looking at the kid pornography.
Well, I'm not really kid.
Yes, they are under the age of 18. And I'll tell you something else, man. You may think the guy, ha, 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 and all that crap, and he's going to go to jail. If you receive files like that via the email, you call the cops. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, why?
What do you mean, why? Because you've gotten a piece of criminal, that is criminal material. That shows underage kids, and they are being sexually exploited visually, and that is illegal to transport that stuff or transfer it or however they say it, you know.
Send it.
Okay, send it. Send it.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's illegal. Don't tell me you've gotten stuff like that.
No, I ain't got nothing about it. But what's I can say? What's wrong with looking at it?
Don't look at it. Don't do nothing. If you see it, I guess you're going to have to see some of it. If you do...
Yeah, but see, then I'd be in the law against it.
No, you wouldn't, man. If somebody sends you an email and they have a video attachment, you go, oh, thanks. And then maybe it says, you know, last weekend's Charger game, and you open it up and there's kiddie porn, you close it down and you call the cops.
What if it's a friend of yours?
A friend of yours? In the kiddie porn?
No, the guy that sent it.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. What, you still call the cops?
Oh, come on, man. That's hardcore. That's cold. Cold as ice.
Well, dude, you know what? Then you might want to call him up and have a good long chat with him and say, you know what? Because you're my friend, I'm going to give you one warning, man. Don't ever send me that crap. And if I were you, I would take my computer and set fire to it because there's no way you're ever going to be able to delete all that stuff. But, you know... You know that, right?
Well, yeah, but I didn't really know it.
But I'm telling you, if you got anything in your computer, you got to get rid of it. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't store nothing.
That's where you get into trouble. You remember that guy I was talking about, that radio guy?
Yeah.
He stored that crap, man. That's where he really got into trouble. Not only did he store it, he sent it through the email, and that, brother, that was the end of that. Don't do it. All right, so this jackass, they also found pornography found on his cell phone, but authorities are saying that it's not connected to any of the students. Stone was arrested by police Monday night at his parents' home. He's due to return to court on June the 30th. This jackass thinks he's going to go to his daughter's graduation. He's 55 at his parents' home. What is up with this cat?
Sounds like he's got a stunted something.
Yeah, I'll bet he's got something stunted. Yeah, he's all messed up, man. He sounds like Norman Bates, only both parents are alive. You know?
Who's Norman Bates?
The guy in Psycho, you know, the guy that kept his mother in the cellar. You guys didn't see that?
Yeah, I saw it. He kept his mother in the cellar, and he had her down there with the apples. What are you laughing about, man?
What he just said. Yeah, man, I saw that. His mother was in the cellar, and he had her down there with the apples.
Well, he did.
What do you mean down there with the apples?
That's where they put, like she did a fruit preserve.
Oh, who knows about that? Anyway, yeah, so I want you guys to make sure that you call the cops if you ever get any of that stuff, and you don't keep anything in your computer, and if you know anybody that trades and trades in that stuff, man, send it to the coppers. You don't want that stuff. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show, our News and Information Hour. University to charge higher tuitions to students based on the major. Well, that's a sexy topic. How the hell did we get that as a story? Based on your major. Okay. And other news. Braves, well, we already talked about the Gloria Allred going after that Braves pitcher who said that he made some it was the pitching coach who made some crack about, do you know what causes leprosy? Armadillos.
Get out of here.
That's what they're saying. But I don't want to read that story either. Well, we'll see. We'll find something here, folks. It's just absolutely freaking dead. Not the news, the show. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget to get over to philhenryshow.com and visit our website for our live streaming video, which is Phil TV in HD. And right now, behind me, the beautiful El Pacifico. We also been checking out C-SPAN tonight to see what's up. U.S. Chamber of Commerce Aviation Conference. Oh, yeah.
Look pretty good, man.
And other things that we occasionally will source. Nothing too heavy. Rachel Maddow says gay news anchors have responsibility to come out. Cautions, she wasn't referring to Anderson Cooper. Why? Well, we'll find out. Rachel Maddow has a message for gay news anchors. Come out of the closet. It's your responsibility. I'm sure other people in the business have considered reasons why they're doing what they're doing, not revealing that you're homosexual, but I do think that if you're gay, you have a responsibility to come out, Maddow tells The Guardian. But, in a blog post she wrote immediately after news reports about her interview began to emerge, Maddow stressed that she was not talking about CNN's Anderson Cooper, as many outlets speculated. I wasn't asked about that queer, she said. I'm kidding. No, she didn't.
Man, that would have been so funny if she said that.
Yeah. No, she didn't say that. I wasn't asked about Anderson Cooper, which is kind of like the old joke, you know, did you tell him where it hurt? No. Why? He didn't ask. Come on. I wasn't asked about Anderson Cooper. I didn't say anything about him. He literally was never discussed during the interview. Well, wait a minute. You said that people that are gay have a responsibility to come out. Now, excuse me. God, man.
You want some water?
Well, give me the coffee there. Now, here, let me ask you something. It's not that big of a jump because Anderson Cooper is very publicly living with his partner. They have publicly adopted or are in the process of adopting a child. So there is nothing, he's not hiding anything. And that may be his way of, quote, coming out. So what does he need to come out about? I mean, I think Anderson Cooper, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're living with another dude and you are adopting a kid with that dude.
I don't know, man. You can still be straight.
What are you talking about?
You nuts or something? Well, why couldn't you?
What do you mean? If you're living with another guy and you're both straight and you two guys decide you're going to adopt a kid together and you're telling me that that happens?
I don't know, man. Unless you come right out and say, and by the way, I'm gay. If two dudes go in and they say, I want to have a, you know, we want to adopt a kid.
Yeah.
And the guy says, okay, the two of you? Yeah. But we're straight. Well, they wouldn't have to say that.
What? What did he say?
He's saying, do you go in if you got a dude and you're living with a dude, you go in and say, we want to adopt a kid and you got to say you're gay?
Do you got to say you're gay? I guess what I'm thinking is it's assumed.
Aha, man, you can't assume nothing, remember? Assume, make an ass out of you and make an ass out of him. Make ass out of everybody.
Assume, ass out of you and me. That's what the nun, when I was a kid, she would put A. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't even think you know what you're talking about. Two guys go in to adopt a kid.
Sounds like a joke.
Yeah, it is a joke the way he's talking about it. Two guys walk in to adopt a kid. They adopt the kid, and at no time do they tell anybody they're gay. In fact, they're both straight.
Yeah, they didn't take the kid home, and there's two girls waiting for him.
Uh-huh. Then what?
Well, then they decide.
Oh, will you guys get real? Two dudes go in. That's what Anderson Cooper did with a friend of his, and I believe it was I don't know, but they've got to be gay. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that could be, homophobic or something.
Hobophobic. Anyway, here's Rachel Maddow. She says, I wasn't asked about Anderson Cooper. How dare you think that I was talking about Anderson Cooper? Why, that queer never crossed my mind, she said, as she raised her hand in a sort of mock gay, limp-wristed attitude. Although criticism of Mr. Cooper was intimidated by The Guardian and picked up by everyone, I do not make that criticism in the interview, nor is it what I believe. She also emphasized that gays should all get to decide for ourselves if and when we feel that we can come out. Ms. Maddow said, look at me. I haven't come out, so you can't really tell whether I'm gay or not, and don't you dare try to guess, she said. No, she didn't say that. She said she also emphasized, she said that she's one of two openly gay anchors at MSNBC, along with Lawrence O'Donnell. Now, anyway.
Really?
No. She's one of two openly gay anchors at MSNBC, along with Thomas Roberts. Who's he?
You mean, who's she?
What do you mean, she? I don't know. Who's he, she? She frequently mentions her relationship with longtime partner Stan Mikita, the former Blackhawk? No, I'm sorry, Susan Mikula, and defends herself from those critical of her sexual orientation. I'm not critical of your sexual orientation at all, Rachel. I want you to know that. I am not. But the low-cut thing... You know.
I know, man. It's always doing that.
Yeah, it's like she's trying to tease us.
Well, I wouldn't call it that. But, Rachel, you wear that sports jacket, and then you have the thing. Anyway, no biggie. Gawker.com, and it ain't called Gawker.com for nothing. Gawker.com took advantage of the Guardian interview and drew attention to the off-speculated gay anchors. They wrote, we've been saying the same thing for a long time. What's that? Just the same thing. No, they said, but then again, Maddow may not have meant Anderson Cooper necessarily. Who cares if she was or she wasn't or she... She had to say that because she's obviously friends with the guy, and she didn't want him to be pissed off or upset. She was talking about... I'll tell you what happened. She made this statement, and then she realized, uh-oh, I've got some friends in the business who are not, you know, officially out, and this may offend them. So, you know, her mouth wrote a check that her brain couldn't necessarily cash, and she had to back it, you know, she had to kind of backpedal or something.
So she's trying to make a big statement and realized it couldn't be that big.
Well, yeah, I mean, in other words, I don't even necessarily disagree with what she's saying. It's probably a good idea. What the hell, man? If you're a news anchor and you're delivering the news, you don't want to be the news. You don't want somebody to come along and say, and by the way, you know, so-and-so, Joe Blow... Probably not a very good name for a fictitious gay guy.
Joe Suck?
Joe Suck, no. In any event, he's gay. And he's giving you the news, and he can't even tell you the truth about himself? So, what they said in Gawker, we've been saying the same thing for a long time, but then again, Maddow may not have meant Anderson Cooper necessarily. She could have been talking about Fox News' Shep Smith. Now, that's one for speculation for a long time. Now, if you have any gay friends, and I do, the whole gaydar thing is really important. Like, straight people ain't got it, but gay people do. So, you know, you got to ask your friends, and I mean from, that's where I found out that Carl Lewis is gay.
Get out of here, man. Are you telling me the truth?
Well, I shouldn't, but that's what I heard.
Carl Lewis, the guy in the Olympics.
Exactly. Anyway, she could have been talking about Fox News' Shep Smith or Good Morning America's Sam Champion and Robin Roberts. Robin Roberts, man.
Yeah, she probably, I think she hits the ball. I think she hits fast pitch.
Yeah.
Fast pitch. Anyway, there sure is a lot of closet space in TV news, but at least we have a brave bunch. Rachel is setting a good example. Oh, brave Butch. There's a lot of closet space in TV news. If there's a lot of closet space in TV news, then that means there's not a lot of people in the closet, and that means that there's not that many people that haven't come out. So you kind of butchered that again, didn't you, Gawker? You suck. And yes, Rachel is Butch, but she's, you know, she's pretty.
She looks like Elvis.
She looks like Elvis Presley, right. We'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, what? Oh, a woman using the reality TV show as a defense
Phil
of the murder case.
Phil Hendry. Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here at our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way with us. We do have a story that we think is of import, and that has to do with a woman who is using a reality TV defense in a murder-for-hire trial. But first this. And boy, is this is the saddest, sickest, it's grungy, it's grody, it's nauseating, and it's pretty weird. A Central Ohio man allegedly told police last week that
Oh, man, not this story, man. Don't do it, man. Please don't do it.
Oh, don't cry, man. I gotta do it. It's newsworthy.
Yeah.
A Central Ohio man allegedly told police last week that he likes to drink the beep of adolescent boys.
God.
Now, this is a weird dude, man. And I've heard it said, if you don't hurt anyone, then can you really call it a malady? Is it a psychological malady? Is it a psychological illness if you don't hurt anyone? Well, what if you're hurting yourself? And I think that drinking a boy's beep and, you know what I'm talking about, Robert?
No, man, you ain't telling nothing. You ain't saying nothing. You got to say it.
You can't say the word.
I'm going to say the word. Urine.
Oh.
You asked me to say it.
Oh.
You told me to say it, man.
Oh. God, man, you sound like a chick.
Oh, man, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Alan Patton is in jail after allegedly telling Gahanna, Ohio police about his affection for the bodily fluid. Good God almighty. You imagine being a cop. I mean, those guys, there is nothing they hear. There's nothing that they hear that is not the most depraved thing at some point. He will be formally charged with criminal mischief and unlawful collection of a bodily substance. It's a new law to Ohio, which was put on the books in part because of this guy's past behavior. Oh, God. Police said Patton goes to family restaurants. Police said Patton goes to family restaurants and movie theaters and waits for the boys in a bathroom stall. Investigators said he shuts off the water to the child-level urinal and puts a cup in the bottom. He goes back and retrieves the cup and then drinks the urine.
Oh, man, that man.
Okay. Detective Ron Fithen was the guy who said that. He's with the Columbus Police Department. Detective Ron Fithen, after being interviewed for the story, said, you know, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. That's what I'd do. That's what I'd say, Detective Hendry. And then he drank the urine. Okay, well, that's it for me, guys. Well, where are you going? I resign. I resign my job as a police officer. I don't know what else I'll do. Maybe I'll go into just working as a security guard for Sears. I don't care anymore. And why do we always say a security guard for Sears? Does Sears have security guards? I'll just be a security guard anywhere. Bel Air Security, something. Patton allegedly told police he leaves the stall after the child leaves. Fithen interviewed Patton after he was arrested while leaving a movie theater last weekend. Listening to him describe it is like listening to a crack or cocaine addict. He's addicted to children's urine.
Man, that guy needs to go a nut, Ben.
Well, no kidding. But again... Well, yeah, a nut bin. Because the guy is, like, stalking kids in bathrooms. It's just... He told us he's been doing it for 40 years since he was 7!
No.
Yes.
Since he was 7. Police said Patton told him it makes him sick, but that it's almost spiritual to him. He allegedly added, I like it because it makes me closer to them. I'm drinking their youth. Oh, this guy's gone, man.
Well, yeah, man. How come you didn't think it was anything less?
Well, I thought, you know, a victimless crime, as they say, and maybe it's like a sexual weird... It's kooky, man. It's way out there. It's sick. You know?
Can you call that child molesting a child and everything?
Well, you know, he doesn't touch the kid at all, and the kid doesn't even know that he's there. But it's just... You know what? I think a guy like that needs to be put away, because I'll bet you... I'm sorry. It's hard for me to think that he hasn't molested a kid.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe that he hasn't.
Yeah, but didn't arrest him for that.
Well, maybe not. But a cat that's doing that, and that's just funky already, okay? Now I got to think this dude is just the way he describes it. A New Albany, Ohio father played a role in Patton's arrest. He told someone at a movie theater that Patton was staring at his son in the bathroom. The theater employee then called police. Officials said Patton is a registered sexual predator who was, here we go, convicted of rape 13 years ago.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. Police believe, so you see, it's like what we were saying the other night on the show, you know, that peeping Toms, something like 70 to 80% of all peeping Toms go on to become rapists. So it's a stage of an abnormal personality that eventually goes to the weird, to the level of criminal. And this guy, who may appear to be just a sort of you know, inoffensive individual, look at that, man. He's already raped a kid. And I'm telling you, it's funky, man. It's way, way funky. Police believe Patton has been collecting and drinking urine in cities around Can you imagine? Police believe Patton has been collecting and drinking urine in cities around Central Ohio, including Hilliard, Westerville, Dublin, Worthington, and Gahanna. Why would we even give the names of the city?
Well, in case somebody's missing some urine.
Oh, I see. So if you were packing some urine and you're missing it? And this isn't the first time he's been caught. A Delaware municipal court found Alan Patton guilty of criminal mischief in February of 2011 for similar acts at a public restroom. Patton was also ordered to pay a $250 fine plus court costs. He must serve 5 years community control and wear an electronic monitoring device. This guy's all jacked up. Although he was found guilty of criminal mischief, Patton was found not guilty on a charge of unlawful collection of a bodily substance, a law his past crimes helped create, which you already pointed out in the story a little bit earlier. Thank you so very, very deeply, ABC News. Wow. Wow.
So you think the guy should go into a nut house, huh?
I think that if the guy... Yeah, yeah. Now that I find out about the guy's whole criminal history... Yet I had a stinking hunch, a guy that is this weird, there's got to be some child molestation in his past, and it turned out, yes, there was. So I think you pop a guy like this, you got to get him to some kind of a head shrinker and have this guy some very intensive head shrinking is what I think.
Well, yeah, does he belong in a nut bin?
I don't know if he belongs in a nut bin. Do you mean like a psychiatric hospital?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if it's an outpatient thing, but right away you got to remand the guy to some psychiatric thing, because it's, first of all, man, it's injurious. You heard the guy say he gets sick, so what's that about? Okay, and remember that one guy I was telling you guys about?
Oh, man, that Hamilton Fish guy? That was the sickest thing I ever heard.
No, man, the guy with the pins?
The guy with the pins, the knitting needles, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right. Tell me that guy wasn't nuts. This guy, Hamilton Fish, not Hamilton, excuse me, Albert Fish. Hamilton Fish was a relative of his. Hamilton Fish was a member of the U.S. Congress. But Albert Fish, as probably a lot of people know, because the story has been repeated, the man's case came into prominence about 20 years ago when a book was written about him called Deranged. And Albert Fish murdered many children in New York City on Staten Island. He was active as a murderer, as a child killer, in the late teens, early 20s, mid-20s of the 20th century. He had been arrested for burglary. He'd been arrested for a lot of weird crimes before that. But kids went missing. One of them, the child of a police officer, which obviously is naturally going to get a lot of attention. And they began you know, hunting up this kid, another little girl by the name of Bud. I forget her first name. This child went missing. And they finally found this guy, Albert Fish, who had killed this little girl, Bud, and had killed the boy. And it turns out the guy is not only a sadistic murderer and a psychopath, because he taunted this little girl's mother with letters. Just a sick bastard. He was a cannibal.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah. And
you kidding?
Why would I kid about that, man? I mean, I'm in the middle of telling the story, you know?
All right.
So he cannibalized these kids. And so anyway, when they finally arrested him, New York City police finally arrested him, and he had sent a letter to the mother of this little girl, the Bud girl, she was a 12-year-old, that said something, it was very, very sadistic and taunting and horrible, the detail that he went into. Nonetheless, he gets arrested by the New York City police, and they come to find out that this guy was some kind of a masochist, sadomasochist. He would take pins and knitting needles, and I don't know how else to describe it, just stick them into his body, you know?
Yeah, you said they had like a, what, an x-ray?
Oh, yeah, the x-ray. They got an x-ray of this guy's pelvic area, and there's just needles, man. You know, he's a very, very jacked-up guy. He also enjoyed beating himself with a ping-pong paddle that had nails in it.
Get out of here, man.
He did, man.
They didn't have ping-pong then.
They didn't have ping-pong back in the 20s?
Yeah.
Well, he was beat. Yeah, it was a paddle with nails. They said it was a ping pong paddle. I don't know. What do you mean they didn't have ping pong back then?
Well, when did they invent ping pong?
I don't know. I'll bet you it's in the 19th century, though. So anyway, make a long story short on this guy. They put him in the electric chair. They just said, you know, you're goodbye, adios, you're a ghost. And they did. They cooked him real good. They might have even forgotten to put water in the sponge, for all I know.
That would have been radical, man.
But anyway, yeah, so the Albert Fish. So the weird ass is out there. Now, how we got onto that topic while I'm talking about a guy that likes to drink urine is anybody's guess. But I'm saying it starts out small and then it gets weird. So much of this behavior, and I don't mean it in every act, but if it's clearly an aberrant act, who's he hurting by drinking urine? Well, you know something? It's screwy. It's irrational. And the whole way he's talking about these kids, this cat needs to be locked up, man. I'm sorry. In 2009, Patton was convicted of attempting to collect urine from toilets at a Dublin business. This is in Ohio. The case frustrated authorities as Patton could only be convicted of criminal mischief and sentenced up to 60 days in jail. So then they finally passed these laws saying you may not collect urine and sell it without a license. No, I'm kidding. You can't do it. It's sick. It's twisted. It's weird. All right, Florida woman Dahlia DiPolito uses reality TV defense in a murder-for-hire trial. Wait till you hear this story. We're going to give it to you when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as this lady was on trial or is on trial for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill her husband, and she's using the defense of, oh, it was a scripted ploy for a reality TV show. Kind of like when you say, okay, if they find out, if they hear the tape, we were rehearsing a play. Yeah. Yeah. All right. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Coming back in a moment.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
A few more minutes here on the Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget, after the show, check our website for the show log. Brutal, brutal, brutal show tonight. But a Florida woman on trial for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill her husband is using an unusual defense. It was a scripted ploy to snag a reality TV show. Yes, sure. But Dahlia DiPolito says it's true. She's 30. She's facing charges of solicitation to commit first-degree murder. In 2009... she allegedly hired an undercover police officer posing as a hitman to kill her husband, Mike DiPolito. In opening statements on Tuesday, Dahlia DiPolito's defense claimed that the hiring of a hitman to kill her husband was a big hoax, just a big misunderstanding, and that Dahlia DiPolito's husband, Mike, was in on the scheme. The defense argues the couple was committing the hoax to get a reality show. The plot for the contract killing of Mike DiPolito was never real, said Michael Salnick. One little problem? Mike DiPolito denies that. He took the stand and testified that he was absolutely shocked to discover that 6 months into his marriage, his wife was plotting to have him killed. In 2009, detectives set up an undercover sting operation, which included telling Dahlia DiPolito that her husband had been killed. All of the sting was caught on camera by the crew of the reality show Cops. Video showed Dahlia DiPolito crying when she learned her husband had been murdered and asking to see him. Surveillance video caught her planning the murder. I just need to make sure everything is going to be taken care of, she told the police officer, who was posing as a hitman.
This is really complicated. I don't understand it.
What's not to understand?
Yeah, but what's the part about how he didn't know and she said he didn't know?
No. You guys don't understand. She was found to have been plotting the murder of her husband. The police caught her on tape. She said, no, I wasn't plotting the murder of my husband. It was a scenario for a reality TV show.
Oh, and they're like talking how they were going to do it?
Yeah. And so she even said her husband knew about it. But her husband took the stand and said, bull crap, I did not know about it. I don't know what you're talking about. You lying whore.
He called her that?
I don't know, Robert, but anyway, the defense argues it was Mike DiPolito, a convicted felon on probation, who orchestrated the entire thing. That's what the defense is saying. Defense attorneys argued Mike DiPolito was a fan of shows like The Jersey Shore and Cheaters, which led him to plan a fake murder for hire so he and his wife could get their own reality show. Yeah, easy come, easy go there, Mike. It was a stunt that Michael DiPolito, whether he'll admit it or not, hoped to capture the attention of someone in reality TV, said Salnick. Michael DiPolito's hoax to achieve fame and fortune was a bad prank. Dahlia DiPolito expected her husband to tell investigators it was a hoax after she was arrested. While the defense might argue that her husband craved the attention of a reality show, Dahlia DiPolito was the one with the reality TV experience. As a teenager, she appeared on the hit episode of The Jamie Kennedy Experiment that included a fake hitman. In the prosecution's opening statement, Dahlia DiPolito was portrayed as a cold-blooded killer. Probably turned that way by Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Being on a show like that will make it be a killer.
Yeah.
In any event, in the prosecution's opening statement, she was portrayed as a cold-blooded killer. He asks her, are you sure you want to kill him? As if she had ice running through her veins, she says, there's no changing. I'm determined already, according to attorney Elizabeth Parker. This is the prosecuting attorney. ABC analyst Dan Abrams said that for the defense of reality TV to work, Dahlia DiPolito will have to take the stand. You always say to jurors, you cannot hold it against the defendant if she doesn't testify. I think in this particular case that if she doesn't testify, the jurors will hold it against her because it's so dependent on what was happening in her mind throughout this, that I think to believe the defense without her testimony is tough. So she's got to get on the stand. She's got to talk about this because this is some screwball thing here, man.
You believe it? I mean, what about the guy?
I don't know, man. You know?
Yeah, because his husband's a criminal too, and maybe he wants her to go to jail.
Well, see, that's the angle. You know, that's another thing to think about. Maybe she got caught. Maybe this guy, you know, he's a con, and he's been inside, and maybe he wanted to get rid of her. I don't know, man. I mean, does she have money? Why did he want to get rid of her? Because he obviously, if that's what you guys are saying is true, and it's possible, then he planned it with her, and she thought that everything was good, and then he turned around and testified against her. So he had something in mind. Divorce her? Well, that's easy enough. Get some of her money? I don't know. How do you get money? What good does it do you, though, man, to have your wife thrown in prison? You can divorce her ass, you know?
Maybe he's afraid to, because he's afraid she's going to stalk him.
Oh, I don't know, man. So the more I think about it, the more I think it sounds kind of goofy. Anyway, Abrams said that Dahlia DiPolito's defense team will have to overcome some overwhelming evidence, including text messages sent to a boyfriend. Aha!
A boyfriend?
Yep. Text messages sent to a boyfriend and preparations made during the plot, including removing jewelry from her home. I've seen a lot of wild and crazy defenses in my days, and this is certainly one of the wildest and one of the craziest, said Abrams, who said he was only kidding. He's been in television most of the time as an intern for Larry King. Okay.
It sounds like a fire.
It's a forest fire raging out of control. So how about that? All right. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll come back kick ass, you know. That's what we got to do. That's what we do, man. Just get in and kick ass all over again, baby. Figure out what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was bad, what was in between, and make sure you make all the adjustments. And we will be back again tomorrow night. Of course, 10 to 1 on the West Coast, 1 to 4 on the East Coast. Our web address is philhenryshow.com. If you can't listen to the show on radio, you can always catch us at our website with our Phil TV and HD webcast. We also have the podcast the next day. We have our Classic Phil podcast. We have the largest archive anywhere in the planet or on the planet or in the planet, in the interior of the planet. The largest archive of a radio show. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And one more thing, our shop. Go to the shop and pick up the brand new Phil Henry Show t-shirt. It's a beautiful royal blue with our three-color logo on the backside. Our show was technically directed by John Ilk and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. And, of course, our executive producer is Jason Rance. PhilHenryShow.com. We'll see you guys tonight.
Phil Hendry.